you would rather have really good marketing and a crappy product instead of a really good product and crappy marketing. No matter what line of service you're in, you're a marketing company. Hello, I'm Peyton Squires, and I'm the host of the podcast. This podcast is for those who are dissatisfied with where they are at in their life and career currently. I used to be one. When I got out of college with my master's degree, I started working in banking. I eventually moved to a Fortune 500 company. I quickly found out being an employee was not for me. I was bored out of my mind and did not like it whatsoever. Something eventually lit a fire under me. I started studying for the CPA exam, listening to podcasts, and reading books every day. By doing that, I had passed all four parts of the CPA exam in 8 months and quit my job. I opened up my own tax firm, having never been paid to do someone's taxes before. That was in 2014. Since then, I've consistently grown my business, had a lot of success in other business ventures, including real estate, property management, among other things. And now, I'm looking for a new venture. I want to help inspire you and other entrepreneurs to achieve their potentials and dreams, as well as learn from the stories of these entrepreneurs as to see what has gone well and what hasn't gone well for them. Let's go create a bunch of healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Behind Their Success podcast. I am Peyton Squires, the host. And today we have a special guest on for you. His name is Ross McDaniel. He's located in Augusta, Georgia. So all the golf people will probably be excited about that. His business is called Fence Post. This business is about facilitating growth through measurable digital marketing strategy. Whether it's segmenting audiences, mapping customer journeys, building awesome paid search and display campaigns, or launching a coffee shop. Ross has also launched a coffee shop. If it brings value, he's in. So the company Fence Post is dedicated to helping home service businesses generate more high-quality customers. Roofers, electricians, lawn care professionals, HVAC specialists, power washing companies. These are all companies that he's passionate about and helps a lot and sees as the backbone of a lot of local communities. So his business is to help them generate more business and get more leads. Some things that he's passionate about, he's into authentic relationships, consistent growth over time, digital strategy, and seeing communities grow and families impacted. Reading that bio, I think Ross and I have quite a bit in common, and I'm excited to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Yeah, thank you.
How did you begin in your kind of entrepreneurship journey, and where are you at now?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually don't come from a long line of entrepreneurs or business owners or anything like that. I actually consider myself pretty risk averse. And I know, Faden, you and I were talking a little bit about that beforehand. But I found myself consistently in a small business, either as the principal or founder or partner in some cases, or as one of the early employees, which is part of my origin story. And so just saying all that to say, still to this day, struggle with the identity of like business owner, an entrepreneur. We're still figuring that out. But I've been in the agency world, specifically the digital marketing agency world, for the better part of 15 years. Went to actually the local college here, Augusta State University here in Augusta. Yes, golf is a big deal. It's actually coming up in a couple of weeks. And as I was getting out, basketball was no longer a thing. The time to grow and mature was nigh. We needed to figure out what was going to happen. And so I started stumbling around looking for internships, stumbled across this burgeoning agency. And when I say burgeoning, it had two founders and an employee, and started working for free. This was one of the best things I ever did. The founder there ended up becoming a great mentor, and one of my best friends is now one of my business partners. And so that really set the course for a couple of things. One, learning the ropes of digital marketing. I cut my teeth on Google Ads, got exposed to, I think we had one company pop the Fortune 500 mark, one client there. And then a lot of our clients, a ton of our clients were these small mom and pop shops. The other thing it did for me was really expose me to a number of different areas of entrepreneurship and business ownership. You know, I had access to the QuickBooks online account from day one. Whether or not that was right or wrong, it was there. Getting to manage accounts, getting to figure out how to interact with clients and go on business trips and whatever else. So fast forward, selling that agency, getting to be a part of that and see that and watch that, having a brief stint in-house somewhere, when I say in-house, inside a big corporate company, and realizing that where I was being called to was something a little bit different, and realized that, hey, this small side hustle that I've been still fostering since day one could actually be something big. So today, what we have really landed on is, man, all those experiences with Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, big companies, and then on down to the local community, businesses with a local footprint companies, the ones that felt the most impact from what I was doing in Google Ads or SEO or reviews, they were the ones that just wanted to see, you know, a 10, 15, 20% bump in their phone calls, right? They're the ones that are coming to my office and saying, hey, thanks so much for, you know, I had a phone call with somebody that came from a Google ad the other day. And that was some real an apex of value there. That's a long-winded way of saying we found a lot of value in helping the people that were helping grow our community. And that has expanded into a more national footprint for us. Really any business that it has a local footprint is where we are focused today. And then my wife and I have actually been able to realize what we call the local growth formula in our own local footprint business via Trellis Coffee Bar, which we launched last year with some partners. So that's the long-winded spiel we're in to help local communities thrive through digital marketing.
Very cool. When you mentioned there, you mentioned basketball. That's probably something else me and you have in common, that I was played quite a bit of basketball in my career, in my life too.
That's a lot
of things that me and you have overlapping. When you talk about local marketing and digital marketing like that, personally, that was something that really changed my business, or really what I say a big thing that helped me turn the corner was I went probably 6 or 7 years before I asked anybody to leave me a Google review. Now, how dumb is that, right?
Yeah.
But once I did that, you want to talk about the new leads and the constant new customer reach outs? It was totally game changing.
It's game changing for so many reasons. For one, it's game changing because you now have somebody that's vouched for your business that's not your mom or your wife or your best friend. And that's always a big milestone, not only for prospective customers, but also for yourself. That's pretty validating. You get some gumption and encouragement and confidence there. But also, the minute you start collecting reviews, Google, who doesn't care about your emotions at all, says, whoa, we've got something here. There's a live one on the line. Let's put this guy in front of more people.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, that social proof, like you say, is very powerful. And even for personalities like us, some of the affirmation that you get from that, I guess, is you certainly don't want to rely on that as pure motivation, but it certainly is juice to at least make you feel a little better in the moment, right?
I agree with it. Yeah, and I think other people, from a social proof perspective, like our whole local growth formula is four key ingredients: visibility, competency, social proof, and referral. If you've got those four ingredients in any intentional way integrated into your local business, you're going to see predictable and profitable growth over time. But on the social proof side, I think there's like a little bit of that motivational juice for the prospective customer that's looking for a service, particularly an emergent service, whether it's like crunch time for taxes or holy cow, we just got in a wreck and we need an auto body shop or a personal injury attorney or something. That social proof really gives people the confidence to say, I'll give you a shot.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going through a training program right now. And one of the big pieces in there, the guy talks about a lot, is we're all marketing companies. No matter what line of service you're in, you're a marketing company. And I've gotten to the point now where I consider my business a marketing company that provides financial guidance, right? And if you were to design a business, and not that you want to have a crappy product or service, but you would rather have really good marketing and a crappy product instead of a really good product and crappy marketing. That first business with a really good marketing is going to certainly outperform the second business.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think we see that almost every time we see, no offense to chain restaurants, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you find a good thing you love there. But I think that's a classic example of you've got good marketing, good messaging. Doesn't really matter what's on the back end. You just get people in. Values-based entrepreneurs and business owners, we do have a responsibility to like complete that journey and have incredible marketing because we have an incredible product. We bring it together.
Yeah, when you bring those two things together, then they really start to feed on each other. And then you get this flywheel of positive feedback and growth. And if you have great marketing, eventually you're going to have some big holes if the product service aren't actually living up to expectations, right?
I think we've actually experienced that in our own business. One of the big problems I've been actively wrestling with as we're growing is the fulfillment side. Can anybody do what I'm doing as the business mm-hmm. owner the same way I'm doing yeah. it? And so we don't compromise that thing over there. But
well, it's kind of interesting getting to know a little bit about your business and where you're at and where I'm at. I'm in a similar situation. I've built my business the last decade or so, and it's basically just revolved around me. My name was on the door. Every client that came through that door was expecting to talk to me. And the transition out of that and the ability to let go of some of those pieces that you need to let go of so you can actually scale and build a business instead of just, you know, so much of my business I felt like the last decade is just like me owning my job and not actually having built a business, right? Like I just worked for myself. It's not that I built some kind of business that can operate at all without me. And that's part of that is small-minded thinking or insecurities. And the other part of that is knowing my profile and my personality that I have a hard time getting rid of things or delegating things unless I think you're as good as me at it.
Yeah. So I'm new to the whole culture index deal, but knowing some of what you've been willing to share just in our commonalities, the thing that I have found most difficult is reconciling the fact that mindset actually has played a significant role in the performance of the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And what I feel like I'm a pragmatic individual, that's actually counter to that pragmatism. And I realize that at the end of the day, we're going to have to let go of some of those things. And there's actually a lot of pride roped into mm-hmm. that and insecurity roped into that. And I think somebody in our world mentioned the other day, 70% is okay. And if we can replicate ourselves to 70%, we're going to see some massive gains there. Yeah, I am aligned with you 100%.
Yeah. 100%. So Ross, a question I like to ask everybody on here is, what would you consider your best skill? Like what makes you successful at what you do? What's your superpower?
That's a good question. I think my number one skill is the ability to connect with people authentically. Mm-hmm. I don't care for inauthentic relationships, but I also recognize that you can't like have deep, meaningful relationships with everyone. So what's the balance of having intentional care for someone else's world within your capacity? And I feel like I've done a decent job of that. And I think within our business, that is a vehicle for our why, which is seeing communities grow and human flourishing in those communities mm-hmm. through what we're doing. I want each of my people to also be able to build authentic relationships with our clients. There's so much snake oil out here in the digital mm-hmm. marketing world specifically. A lot of gurus. We want people to feel confident, not only in the results they're getting, but also the way those results are being interpreted to.
Yeah, and that's a skill that I feel like I've developed quite a bit over the years and just working with literally thousands of entrepreneurs, that ability to connect and connect quickly and connect deeply. There's times during tax season, we're recording this in the middle of tax season right now, and later today I have like 20 appointments on the calendar. And with each one of those clients, I'm with them for 20 to 30 minutes. And the ability to meet someone new, sit down with them, build rapport in 20 to 30 minutes, and make them feel good about, okay, yes, he's competent. He's a nice guy. He's going to take care of me. And do that all quickly. I didn't understand at the time as I was going through this the last 10 years, but doing that over and over and over, it's a skill you develop. And you don't realize how valuable that skill is until maybe you take some time to step back and look at it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the tricky aspects of trying. Like, how do you replicate that? Yeah. It's purely a cultural thing in your staff. And I say it's purely cultural because there's the values alignment, but then there's also the skill alignment. And I don't think I'm particularly probably smack dab in the middle, slightly above in the world of like competency, generally speaking. Yeah. So you don't want to speak about yourself highly, but like, how do you, through the years of experience and 3 years of mindset and whatever else, like, how do you replicate that? I think that's the one that I'm trying to figure out as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I always get into digging into culture index profiles and whatever. And my listeners hear me talk about it all the time. And listeners, you should look into culture index a little bit. It's a really cool tool. But knowing your profile that is the exact same profile as mine, yeah, you have a hard time promoting yourself, don't you? It's tough for us to be able to really self-promote or even talk about some of our accomplishments because we get that, we hit that accomplishment, we cross it off the list and we're like, wow, it was no big deal. Let's move on. Because you don't take the time to actually celebrate anything you've done. and you've just moved on. And I'm not speaking for you, but maybe for me, it's, I don't know if I'm motivated to just, am I just constantly trying to prove myself and prove myself to whom? Is some of the deep questions I think about from time to time.
I certainly think about those as well. Yeah. Trying to discern, are you actually looking to achieve this for anybody outside of yourself? When it really come to terms with it, is this a vain pursuit of success or is this a purposeful outcomes oriented? I've got a family with three small kids and a wife and another business in the community I'm trying to foster or super involved in our local church. Am I doing this for the why behind all of those? Or is this actually just an expression of my own selfish vain pursuits? Is in my entrepreneurial journey that I've had to straddle and battle to not cross?
Yeah. A lot of the same feelings for sure. You've been in entrepreneurship for some time period. Looking back on all that, what would you say is the best decision you've ever made?
Great question. The best decision I ever made recently was hiring an executive assistant. Truly, at the beginning of the year, I did, and it changed my life. That's more of a tactical, fantastic decision. Highly recommend. At a macro level, I think the best decision I ever made was actually just taking a leap and doing it. There's never a good time. You never have enough money. The goalpost moves. You just need to jump. And when I did, it was awesome. And I have to get my head above the clouds sometimes and realize, oh, you did, and we're in good shape.
Yeah. Same thing. I have the same type of answer of the best decision I ever made. It was that at least in that one moment, I was brave enough to step out and do my own thing. Being able to do that is certainly not an easy decision. And then also, like you talk about, if you've gone down the road, being able to step back and look and see, wow, I have come a long ways. It's important to constantly remind yourself of that. As we're always forward looking, fighting through the whatever battles we're dealing with on the day-to-day basis or the problem that's sitting in front of us right now that we can't figure out how to solve, that may make us feel like we're not good or not capable, but it's important to always remind yourself, man, I've come a long ways.
Yeah. In mapping the journey from where we were to where we are now, there's some goodness and some providence in that. And just some, I don't know, grace. And like you said, I think our profiles probably struggle with self-promotion. To look at that honestly as an accomplishment and be honest with ourselves and saying, hey, this is big, this is good, and not discount it for happenstance or coincidence or whatever else. Yeah.
So on the flip side of that, what's one of the biggest mistakes you've made on your journey?
Never made one.
You're perfect.
That's a good question. I think this is a perhaps a cheesy answer, but like not doing it sooner is one. I think that's one. I also think that it's a mistake that I make daily. Tying your identity to won or lost clients is a constant battle. The work we do at FencePost, the coffee we sell at Trellis, the friends we make in our neighborhood, those are not our identity. That metric of success and won, win or fail, that's not who we are. Mm-hmm. We are separate from that and apart from that. Those are just expressions of our identity. And I think for me, that's a mistake that is a recurring theme in my world. My beautiful wife, we're actually celebrating 10 years of marriage today. That's our 10-year anniversary. Thank you. It's awesome. But she is just super faithful in helping me call those out and recognize that. But yeah, man, that's a big one.
Yeah, the whole identity thing, wrapping your identity up in some level of success or anything externally, it's going to be a fragile identity because at any point, any of those things can be taken away from you. And if that is taken away from you, you get into this identity crisis of who I am and what I am. It'll humble the heck out of you real quick. You lose a client and you wonder what happened there. Was it me or whatever? And then it's just important to really tie your identity to the process, to the work itself, not necessarily the outcome, but like your intentions in the work itself. It's, you know, my intentions are good. I do the work and whatever happens, I tie my identity to, or try to, I'm far from perfect at it, but tie my identity to just doing the work. And I'm that guy that I do the stuff and hopefully good things happen.
Well, our clients want the results. But at the same time, we should be evaluating the process and done excellently. Just do the best you can. That is trite. But at the same time, like there's great honor in pursuing the process and like expressing the why behind what you're doing through your process, regardless of outcome, because that's honoring to who your identity is.
Yeah. you hear a real hunter doesn't love the prize, right? Sure, yeah, they want to hunt and get the deer or whatever they're hunting, but a real hunter loves to hunt, right? They love the process. And that's so key. That's so key in everything, because if you're just constantly chasing the prize, there's two problems there. One, you may never get there. Yes, I personally believe you got a lot of control of getting to where you want to be, but there's things you may just never get to. So tying your identity to actually getting that prize is a serious problem.
It's a serious problem. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, definitely. So looking back, Ross, looking back in your career, going back to where you said, hey, you know what? I'm going to start my own thing. I'm finally brave enough. I got enough courage to do it. If you could go back right now and give that guy one piece of advice, what would it be?
Develop systems early.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. I really only started developing systems a couple of years ago.
Same here.
And had I done that sooner, where would we be now? And maybe in the same spot, but probably in the same spot or better with less headache. Yeah. And I think that was a game changer for me. This year, onboarding an executive assistant was an expression of that. Onboarding a client account manager was an expression of that. But you truly can't grow or scale unless you've got some systems in place.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm same way, man. I would say only the last 15 months or so where I've really even started building out systems, which is amazing. And I've always had everything on my plate and was everything to everybody. And you realize, one, that can't scale. Two, and you're going to get burned out doing all these kinds of things that aren't maybe even in your skill set, that don't give you energy. So being able to build those processes, that's a journey I'm on too. I'd love, especially when you get offline and talk more about how that executive assistant thing worked out for you and how you designed that, because gosh, I need one.
Yeah, got a great resource. Would love to connect you and anybody else. I stand by them. That's that fourth ingredient of the local growth formula is referral. Man, I'm a big fan of it. They've been life-changing for me, the executive assistant crew that I use.
But once again, I have to be willing to let go, right? I got to be willing to let go of my calendar, let go of my email or all those different things. And I think what's scary for me, and I'm in the middle of it right now, I've built a team and we're going through our first tax season at this moment. And it scares me every day. I'm like, what are our holes in our process? What's not getting done? What is falling through the cracks? And I'm really aware of making sure I want everybody to have a good experience. Now, there's going to be things are going to happen, but it's always my concern. I want to limit that as much as possible because, like I said, people want to know that we're competent, we can do our jobs, but at the same time, they're just looking for a good experience.
Amen and amen. I think we're in this age of knowledge-based business for the last 10 or 15 years and in perpetuity from now on, who knows? But like, so these systems and processes pay homage back to the Industrial Revolution and some of the early auto manufacturers and the assembly line. And what did they do? They designed the system, then they put it out, and then they withdrew the system to do quality assurance and then put another iteration out. I think we can still do that in the knowledge-based economy. We can still get out there and do that in our businesses. I certainly have.
Yeah. And it's just that continuous improvement. It's continued improvement in your business process. It's the continuous improvement in yourself, especially in this knowledge-based economy, right? Like the type of work you do, the type of work I do thing is, how often does digital marketing change? How often does Google change their algorithm and what have you that you constantly have to be on top of to make sure your customers get what they want?
Yeah, we did last week. We had an algorithm update from Google. This one was good for my clients. It's so funny. In November, everybody got crushed. Just, it was the local business killer. But here in March, man, we're cruising. Yeah,
good for you, man.
Yeah. Very cool. I ride the wave.
What's your like ideal customer, or who do you best serve in case any of the listeners are, interested in you?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. So at the end of the day, we're all about seeing communities thrive. We believe that the backbones of those communities are the small businesses that serve them. That's typically a health metric of a mid-cap, 250K to a million person population is like, what are their small businesses like? How successful are they? And so we exist to serve those. If you have a local footprint of customer base, that's we want to get in and execute our local growth formula for you. A lot of times that looks like roofers, plumbers, HVAC companies, working with a chain of 6 accounting firms right now, and then another 10 medical practices all under one umbrella. So there's a little bit of branch out there. But if you have a local footprint, we want to help you.
Very cool. So what's the best way people can connect with you?
Yeah, head on over to our website at fencepost.co. Again, that's fence and a post .co. And ask for a free assessment. Myself or one of our guys will jump in and take a look at your entire online ecosystem, your website, your Google business profile, how you're showing up in search rankings, and we'll just give you an honest assessment of where we think some low-hanging fruit is.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's interesting. I should have brought this up earlier. Being from Augusta, you know there's a tax loophole named after your town?
I heard that, but I had always, it wasn't until recently that I realized that was not just for us.
Yeah.
I thought it was just
us. It's just named after you guys. So just to give the listeners a little background, there's this thing called the Augusta, you'll see it called the Augusta loophole. And I guess it came from locals there. So basically the loophole is you can rent out your personal residence up to 14 days a year and you never have to pay income taxes on it. So why is it named after Augusta? They have a little golf tournament there called the Masters. And I guess the people there went to their congressman to try to get them this loophole passed.
It must have been. I just thought it was like a state or local ordinance.
No.
You and several others have been like, no, this is a federal deal.
Everybody. Yeah, so everybody in Augusta leaves, rents their house out for big money for the golf tournament.
You'll see entire families living with other entire families for the week because it just makes that much sense.
And you don't have to pay income taxes on any of it.
Yeah, it's money week for Augusta for sure.
Very cool, very cool. Ross, anything else you got for the listeners or want to put out there?
I'm thankful for the time. It's always good to get on like-minded podcast hosts, And yeah, at the end of the day, we just want to serve others excellently and authentically. So thank you.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you for listening to the show. Check out Ross McDaniel, the company's FencePost, fencepost.co, right? So give him a check out. He's your marketing guru, especially you got a small business in the community and looking really to get your phone to ring, right? So thank you guys for listening. Ross, thank you for coming on, man. And everybody have a good day.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you found it valuable, please rate, review, and share it. That is the best way to help us build this and reach more people. As we're trying to accomplish our goal of help creating more healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. You can follow us on social media by searching for me, Payton Squires, or going to PaytonSquires.com. On the website and social media, we're always sharing tips of personal growth, and there we can actually interact. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.